400,000 mile oil change. Okay, good. Said so. We spoke last week about the first pasuk of Vayishlach in light of the last pasuk of Vayetzer. Remember, the Malachi Elokim. How does Rashi know Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim the fun of? That it was Malachi Mamish, because we just saw the Malachim before. The first story here, basically, Perek Lamed Beis, right? Perek Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel. Yaakov is meeting with Esav. And the most interesting aspect of this is to compare Yaakov's preparation for the meeting with the actual meeting. Let's learn the preparation, then we'll learn the actual meeting. Are we ready for the preparation? He says, hey, you know, he sends him to his brother, sends all the stuff. He's coming up with 400 men. Pasuk Zion. Yaakov assumes that Esav's coming with 400 men to kill him. Pasuk Chet. Vayira Yaakov Ma'od. He's very afraid. Vayetzer lo, he's in pain. Vayachatz et amish eritov et atun. He divides into two camps. Why is he divided into two camps?
It's harder to attack two camps.
Or it's harder to kill both camps, right? Yeah. Well, he went away, right? Explains it. Pasuk tet, pasuk yud, right? So he divides into two camps. That's the first thing he does, right? The second thing Yaakov does is... He prays, right? He davens. He prays. He prays. In what way, linguistically, is the prayer connected to the preparation?
It says, or you see the Shnei Machaneh.
Right. The Machaneh word, right? That and there's a certain irony in Pasuk Yud Aleph because he says, I'm so not deserving of all of this because I left here with just my stick and now I'm two machanot. Which on the one hand means I'm enough to divide into two camps. On the other hand, it means I'm threatened here of annihilation. And what is this all for? Could it be, you know, for nothing? Right? I want to understand how his tefillah is linked to his preparation. But now we get to something very interesting. Sheni, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayalan sham balaylahu. He goes to sleep. Vayikach min habav yado mincha le'esav. Did he do this in his sleep? Everyone understands the problem within Pasuk Yud Aleph? It says he went to sleep and he sent Esav a mincha. Now, you could say, well, he woke up and the Pasuk just doesn't tell you, so why does it tell us he went to sleep? But even if so, even if you read he went to sleep and then he got up and he did a whole mincha, this turns out to be a very long night. Why? Because what happens next? Pasuk of Bet. Pasuk of Bet. What's next? Oh, Pasuk of Bet. But that's Chav Gimel. Although some people have a different count, but my chumash, there is a different count here in this parak. Vatavol haMincha al Panav, v'hu lan b'lan ahu b'machaneh. So if you're reading it that way, he went back to sleep, right? And then he gets up, Pasuk of Gimel, and starts running away. And then, in fact, how many times did he go to sleep? How much happened that night? How long was that night, right? I want to answer the question I'm asking. I think the key lies in noticing the difference between the formulation of Chav Bet versus the formulation of Yud Daled about the sleep. What's the difference? Both of them talk about Yaakov sleeping. What's the difference? In Pesach Yud Daled, it says he went to sleep. In Pesach Chav Bet, it says he was sleeping. Sheni, Yudal Tachav, he didn't get up. How do you know he didn't get up? Doesn't say he got up, right? But it wasn't a dream. It was something he did parallel to other. He didn't arrange machaneh, then he davened, then he sent. It's all happening at the same time, right? Now how does the Torah describe separately things that are happening concurrently? By describing separately things that are happening concurrently, right? It describes the first thing and says he went to sleep. It describes the second thing and refers back to the fact that he's sleeping. Meaning, it describes all this and says he went to sleep. And then it describes all this and says and he was sleeping. The sleeping came after all of it. He didn't get up a second time. What's interesting here is to note the key word in Sheni in describing the second groups of preparation. A word very similar to the key word we saw in Rishon that described Yaakov's first preparations. What's the word? Mincha, which is very similar to the word. All you have to do is
switch the letter.
Mm-hmm. And really that kind of isolates the question. Is it going to be machane, war, or is it going to be mincha, gifts and appeasement, right? Soft. Oh. So definitely Yaakov is terrified of seeing Esav, right? He fears the worst. Let's fast forward. Now we'll get back to the middle part in a second. Perek Lamed Gimel. Perek Lamed Gimel begins the same way the parasha began. Vayisa Yaakov Einov, right? Like he had heard in the beginning, right? What would you be expecting to happen now?
He runs.
He should run away. In fact, not only should he run away now,
he should run away.
They should have been running away before. What happened to the running away? He divides them up here, vayachatz et yiladim, but the division is just about who's going to meet Esav first. What happened? It's anticlimactic. So there's a big debate amongst the Rishonim. Did Esav intend to war with him? Didn't intend to war with him? That's question number one. But forget what Esav intended. How come Yaakov, who assumed the worst, suddenly here is assuming nothing? Everyone understands my question? In fact, there's even a very sharp subtlety here. If you look back at the beginning of the parasha, the one thing Yaakov doesn't want is to meet Esav. And he keeps speaking about everything else he's sending in front of him. Look at Cheney. Look at Cheney. Ying Ying. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayiten biyad avadav eder eder levado. Vayomer el avadav ivru lifanai. Go in front of me, right? I don't want to have to meet him. The strongest pasuk is Chaf Aleph. Viamartem gam hine avdecha Yaakov acharinu. Ki amar achapra fanav b'mincha ha'olach lifanai v'acharechen eref fanav ula yisa fanai. He's sending others to intervene with Esav. But if you look more up to him, Perek Lamed Gimel, after it talks about the whole family in Pasuk Bet, Pasuk Gimel says, V'hu avar lifnehem. Yaakov went in the very front. Everyone understands the question before we go? You have to understand the question in order for there to be an answer. No answer if there's no question. So what is the answer? I'll give a hint. Where does the answer come from?
The middle.
The middle, the part we skipped. The part we skipped explains everything. And the part we skipped, of course, is about Yaakov's wrestling match, right? With the man. Now again, why do Chazal identify this man as Sarosh Esav?
Because it kind of answers our question?
I think it does. I think it does. But even before you get to that, I think you can explain why they identify Sarosh Esav, even without saying that. Some random guy in the middle between his preparing to meet Esav and meet Esav, he has a whole struggle with, and not just a random guy he has a struggle with, who gives him a whole blessing and about his whole identity, and, as we're about to see, who Yaakov refers back to when meeting Esav. It's the Pashup Shot. Now the notion that a man isn't random, we know from next week's Parsha. Rabbi, next week. Like, we're learning Torah for the first time, man. Kishon Bet, guys. Next week's Parsha. Yosef is sent to find his bros, right?
What?
Yosef is sent to find his brothers, right? It says, Fayim say, hey, Ish. Who knows where his brothers are? And Chazal say, ooh. Because the point is, how does he happen to meet someone who knows where his brothers are? Ah. And why is it important? Why is it important for Jewish history? One could reach the conclusion based on Parshas Vayeshev that the Jews got down to Mitzrayim from some crazy aberration of the brothers dealing with each other. God didn't want that. How did we know God wanted it? He facilitated it. He made sure that, Johnny on the spot is going to be there. Oh, you can't find your brothers? They're over here. Well, that's all, right? Which can help us understand what an angel means. And I'm not getting into DNA testing, but I'm talking about an angel is the one who's made sure to be there. Kapish?
Pish.
Okay. Anyway, Yaakov has this whole thingy-dingy with this guy, right? And he's victorious. Changes his name. You can face the strongest things, right? How do we know that this is what dispelled Yaakov's fears? Gave him the strength to meet up with Esau. How do we know? How do we know? You're explaining. I'm asking, how do we know? Not just from our mind. How do we know? From the text. Ah, the text. Wasson. There's some really cool psukim when he meets Esav. Let's look at Pasuk Chet. Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Chet. By Yomer, Esav says, Mi lecha kol ha-machane hazeh? Esav is focused on the machane, right? And he goes, oh, it's to find favor. And then Yaakov says, Pasuk Yud. By Yomer, Yaakov, Alma, Imna, Metzati Chen Be'enecha, Ve'lakachta, Minchati. Not machane, but Mincha. You get ready to end the Pasuk Yud. Ki alkein, Re'iti fanecha, Ki ra'ot p'nei elokim v'tirtzeni. Seeing your face is like seeing the face of a god, and it being goodwill for me. Now, what's Esav thinking? Oh, thank you very much. What does Yaakov mean? It's seeing you is like seeing a strong person, one strong one, you know. And I did that already and whooped him last night, right? Ki sarita im elokim v'im anashim v'tuchal. Seeing you is like seeing an elokim. No problem for me, man, right? Yaakov has, you know, overcome the intimidation.
Elokim refers to the angel.
Yeah. Dummy. Whatever the Elokim he meant before was. Look back at Pasuk Yud Aleph, the place he gives it. Let's start with Pasuk Chavtet. Perek Lamed Pasuk Chavtet. Vayor Elo Yaakov Yamot Shimcha Ki Im Yisrael Ki Im Sarita Im Elokim Ve Im Anashim Vatucha. Or Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayikra Yaakov Shem HaMakom Pniel Ki Reiti Elokim Panim El Panim. That's how he commemorated his experience there, right?
So it's not a divine name, right?
Hmm?
Do we say Elohim or is it a divine
name? I think we say Elohim, yeah. Mm-hmm. Could have been an angel, or yeah, we see, right? Okay, any questions about what we saw so far? Let's fast forward to the end of the parak. Some very, very interesting psukim here. Pasuk Yudchet. Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Yerushchem. Asher Eretz Kanan Vavob Mipanaram Vayichan Et Pnei Ha'ir. Again, especially based on the usage of the word Panim throughout Prakim Lamed Bet and Lamed Gimel, this has great significance. He builds a Mizbeach there, as we saw in the end of Perek Lamed Gimel. And then, of course, we have Perek Lamed Dalet. Very controversial story, right? What is the moral of the story? Depends on what your political agenda is coming in, it seems, right? How do, you know, let's say crazy right-wing people read this? We'll start with them because their shot seems to be most accurate, but yeah, you know. How do crazy right-wing people read this? How do Italians read this? Someone messes with your sister. You get all of them. Stark. How do liberal leftists read this? Look how terrible this is. Yaakov got angry at them. Maybe see, you don't act this way. No, right? What comes across from the Torah? Why is the Torah telling us this story? That's two different questions, by the way. First of all, what does the Torah think about the story?
Something that was meant to happen, maybe?
I think that's true and not true. We'll get back to what you said in a second.
The Torah is like unbiased in this situation.
It's unbiased.
Maybe because it writes, firstly it gives Shimon and Levi the last word here, but then Vayechi Yaakov gets the
last
word.
Well, we read each story by each story. And it could be their other perspective. But what is the Torah telling you here?
Shimon.
If anything, it seems to side with Shimon and Levi by giving them the last word, right? That's why I said the right-wing people are probably more accurate. Now, this story is unique in the Torah because it's the only one that ends with a question. Usually like we have a clear ending. Here it ends with their question. And I think the Pashup shot in their question, the Pashup shot in their question is a beautiful idea that Rabbi Jonathan Sachs likes to say. Yaakov, what was Yaakov? Why did Yaakov criticize them? Here. And he focuses on their anger and midos, which is a separate point. But how does he criticize the action here? In English.
Troubled means
Much more than troubled. What's he afraid of? It sounds a lot more like the Likud than merits. It doesn't sound like this is morally wrong. It's like, you've endangered me. If we can put it into 21st century terminology. Jewish survival is on the line. Right? The whole Jewish people could have gotten destroyed. What's their response?
You have to take a stand.
When do you have to take a stand?
When you're turning our sister into a zone.
On values. Meaning, is Jewish survival worth, you know, passing on your values, you know, being mevater. I don't mean passing them forward. I mean, you know, giving up your values. And again, that's a big question in our world today. Shimon and Levi are saying it's not Jewish survival at any cost. It's Jewish survival, but protecting our values, which is the purpose to survive, the reason to survive. And the reason Jews are still around today is that Jews have been giving up their life for their values. They have values they were worth dying for. So that's the pashup shot here, right? But I don't think that's why the Torah tells us the story. Ben talked about how the Torah tells it in an unbiased way. I think the Torah doesn't tell it in an unbiased way. I'll show you what I mean. How does the Torah present the action taken by Shimon and Levi?
Negatively, they plundered the whole thing.
I think that's true, but only part of the story. Let's start Pasuk Kaf. Presents them positively, right? They're coming to defend her. Those two psukim, Chav Hei and Chav Vav, sound very, you know, laudable. They freed the hostage. But now it says, Pasuk of Zion, B'nei Yaakov, Bo'u al ha-chalalim, V'yavozu ha-ir asher timu achotam, Et sonam, et bekaram, et chomorim, et asher b'yav, asher b'zal ha-kach, Ve'et kol chalim, et kamam, et shunem, et shunem, et shunem, et shunem, et shunem, et shunem, what do these psukim describe? These three psukim. Right. I mean, it's one thing you want to redeem your sister, right? What's this? The Torah presents it a little bit like. So what's the point of this? Why did Torah tell us this story? Well, Torah tells the story because it happened. That's not the reason why the Torah tells. A lot of things happened. What does the Torah want us to? What's the takeaway from this? No, all those are lessons, but I don't think that's why the story is being told. I think the answer comes by reading the end of the story. When I said that the story ends with a question, it's only if you're bald and Christian. Paragraph at Hay. The next pasuk, "Mayomer Elokim El Yaakov, Kum Alei Veit El V'Shev Sham V'Asei Sham Isbech Le'er Anirah Lech V'Racham Ibnei Esav Achicha." What does the Shem say to Yaakov? Move to Beit El. Now, and not just I'm coming up with a chiddush. He's kind of saying, he never says that, but he's kind of saying you should have been there in the first place. Why does he say you should have been there in the first place? What's the basis for saying you should have been there in the first place? Well, I think that's true, but...
That's where he's going before he met Esav?
I don't know about that. I think you're mistranslating the end of Pasuk Aleph. Why is it something God correctly expects Yaakov to have done?
The only reason he left in the first place was there was something troubling him.
Let's translate Pasuk Aleph, okay? V'asei shem, mizbech, make a mizbech, to the God who appeared to you when you were running away from Esav. You made a promise, right? You're leaving Eretz Yisrael. You were lost. God came to you and said, I'll be with you and I'll return you here. And what did Yaakov get up in the morning and say?
This will be
if you return me here and you're with me, right? I will return to this place. I'll make it a base of Kim. And what happened? Yaakov got back. Everything was safe and everything was fine. And what happened? He fell down in Shechem. And why? What's the explanation? Maybe, you know, sometimes we forget. You know, you're taking finals, make all these promises. You know, finish finals, okay, Shkoyach, I'm finished finals. What happened to the promise? I'm going to go to Morning City after finals. I'm going to dab better after finals. I mean, if God is only with me, I'm going to get better. I'm going to, what happens to all that stuff? It kind of gets forgotten, right? So what's the moral of the story? What's the moral of the story? What does God do to you when you're not where you're meant to be? I don't know about that.
He tries to drive your memory.
And I think in most particular details, God makes your life in a place untenable when you're not supposed to be there. So we say two ways. If you're not supposed to be somewhere, God makes it wrong for you to be there. And we could say the reverse way. If things aren't working out for you, it might be an indication that you're not supposed to be there. You see, again, I think the point in Shechem was, I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. Is the answer let our daughter be raped and stolen? No, right? Is the answer go ransack everyone, you know, everyone who lives around you and kill them?
Probably not.
No. So what's the answer?
You
should have
been in the first place.
This is a perfect place, right? Yaakov, kum alei veit el v'shev sham. So now, he goes to where he's supposed to go. God appears to him there and blesses him, officially changes his name from Yaakov to Yisrael, right? Gets to where he should have gone. Okay. Now, interestingly, at the end of the parasha, we list off the 12 children of Yaakov, right? I mean, Pasuk Chav Bet, Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, Chav Hei, Chav Vav. He returns back to Yitzchak. Right? Full closure. Yitzchak dies with him there. They bury him. Sounds a lot like the end of Parshas Chayisera, remember? When we saw Yitzchak and Ishmael burying Avram. And right after we talk about the burial of Avram, we move on to his children. Let's look back at the end of Chayisera for a second. It's Mutter. There's a pasuk in Kohelet which says, Lev Chacham Limino, Lev Ksil Lismolo. The heart of the wise man leads him to the right, the heart of the fool leads him to the left. So some like to say, you know, those doing chazar all the time, looking back, trying to do chazar, going back to the right, that's the smart person. The person always trying to run ahead, never looking back, that's the fool. Okay, well, some people think it's a good part. End of Parshas Chayisera. The end of Parshas Chayisera. We're looking at Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Zayin. ואלו ימי שני חיי אברהם אשר חי מעט שנה ושבעים שנה וחמש שנים ויגבע וימת אברהם בשיבה הטובה זקן וסבי ויאסף על עמיו ויקבירו אותו יצחק וישמעאל בניו אל מערת המכפלה שביעי ואלו תור לשישמעאל בן אברהם. We finish with Ishmael. And then פסוק י"ט ואלו תור ליצחק בן אברהם. And we continue with Parshas Tolos ויצא, right? וישלח. Same thing here in the end of Parshas וישלח. We talk about the death of Yitzchak. Perek Lamed Vav. Eile told us Esav hu Edom. Perek Lamed Vav is a lengthier description of Esav than we had of Yishmael. And then, Parshas Vayeshev starts with a contrast between Yaakov and Esav. How is it a contrast? As opposed to Esav who moves to Seir. Let's remember where we see that transition. We're starting to talk about the children of Esav. Let's look at Pasuk Vav. Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Vav. The first five Pesukim talk about him marrying Canaanite women and the children he had there, Pasuk Hei. V'aliva yodat yush v'tialam v'et koch eile v'nei Esav asher yuldu lo be'eretz Kna'an. Pasuk Vav. V'yikach Esav et nashav et banav et benotav et kol afshad beitov et mikneo et kol bentov et kol ken yinu shahad be'eretz Kna'an. V'yelech el eretz b'pnei Yaakov achiv. He goes to another land from in the face of Yaakov, right? Remember we saw in the end of Parshas Chayisera, it said by Ishmael, "Pnei kol echav nafal," right? He falls before his brother. He leaves. Where does he move to? Pasuk Chet. V'yeshev Esav b'har Seir. Esav hu Edom. V'yele told us Esav avi Edom b'har Seir. We had the toldos in Canaan. Now we have his toldos in har Seir. And we get to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. After we talk about the toldos and all the leaders. V'yele ha-milachim asher melchu be'eretz Edom. L'fnei Menoch Melech L'fnei Yisrael, not only children but leaders. Perek Lamed Zayin, Vayeshev Yaakov, not just Beretz Kanan, but the phrase added first, Beretz Megurei Aviv, like Yitzchak who continues to reside, Yaakov continues to reside. Eile Toldos Yaakov, Yosef, and why it starts with Yosef, we'll talk about next week, right? But we had the Toldos Esav in the other land, Yaakov living in the land of his fathers, and the Toldos Yaakov moving forward. The rest of Sefer Bereishis in the Torah, right? Told us Yitzchak is told us Vayetzei and Vayishlach. Told us Yaakov is Vayeshev, Miketz, and Vayigash. We get to the death of Yaakov in Parshas Vayechi. We'll see him, Yitzchak Hashem. More on the Parshas of the Shabbos, Yitzchak Hashem. We'll talk more about the Parshas, right? Makes sense.
Baruch of Yitzchak to Yaakov.
That Hashem gives to him in that place, right?
And that, and it was that the elder was going to serve the lot.
For Rav Yavot Seir.
Har Seir, oh wow.
Seir. Okay, similar word, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do we still call Yaakov after his name is Seir?
Because, okay, so first of all, because Hashem calls him Yaakov. That's the technical answer. And the deeper message of, you know, why Hashem calls him Yaakov in the name is because I guess it still has significance for understanding him and who we are, right? But at least him. I know we say who we are because often Tanakh refers to us as Bnei Yaakov, right? But who he is and who we are still remains significant. Do 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 do.